Okay, so get this, you're ready to dive in. Today we're tackling corporate innovation, but like the nitty-gritty, how to build a whole new business within a company that already exists.
Right, not just slapping a new coat of paint on something.
Exactly. It's like when a company known for, I don't know, building gas-guzzling SUVs suddenly decides they're all about electric scooters.
Which sometimes works, but often.
It's like watching a penguin try to fly.
Yeah, it can be a little painful. What I find fascinating is how often these big companies, they have the resources, the talent, but they just miss the mark.
What's going wrong?
Well, you can have a truly disruptive idea, a product that could change the game, but if that company isn't set up to support it, to nurture it, it's going to crash and burn.
So it's not enough to just have the idea.
No. It's like planting a rare orchid out in a field of weeds if you don't create the right environment. It's just not going to survive.
That's a powerful image, and I think it gets to the heart of what we're talking about. We're not just talking about launching a new product here. We're talking about building entirely new businesses within these big established companies, right?
Exactly.
And if I'm reading between the lines correctly, the odds of pulling this off are, well, not exactly in anyone's favor, are they?
Sadly, no. The research is pretty sobering, actually. 29 out of 30 corporate startups, and by that we mean ventures launched within larger companies, 29 out of 30 failed to hit $50 million in revenue.
Wow, so only 1 in 30 is actually successful.
It's an incredibly high failure rate.
That's rough.
And it highlights just how tricky this whole process is.
Which brings us to the lean scale-up framework, right? This idea that you can build a bridge between this established company and this brand new venture. So walk me across that bridge. What's the core concept here?
Okay, so imagine this. You've got the Now system, which is your established company, right? It's got its own culture, its processes, its way of doing things.
Right, the mothership.
Exactly. Then you've got the new system, this energetic little startup trying to find its footing.
David and Goliath, kinda.
In a way, yeah. And the lean scale-up framework, it's essentially a blueprint for building a bridge between those two worlds because they need to be connected, but
One
also,
was also
you
separate.
got it. There needs to be some space for the new venture to breathe, to grow.
Okay, so what are the pillars holding up this bridge, metaphorically speaking? What's the foundation?
Three main pillars: leadership, methodology, and then people culture.
So it's not just about having a cool product or a streamlined
It's
process.
about all of it. And each of those pillars is then broken down into four modules, so you've got a total of 12 modules to work with.
12. That sounds like a lot.
It might sound overwhelming, but it's actually incredibly helpful to have this kind of comprehensive system.
So you're not just feeling your way in the dark.
Exactly. You've got a roadmap, a structure to guide you.
So just to recap, it's not enough to just have a cool product or even a solid process. You've got to have the right people and the right culture to support it all.
You got it. Without strong leadership, a supportive culture, and buy-in from the top down, even the best methodology in the world won't get you very far.
Right, because even the best product can't sell itself.
Exactly. And speaking of methodology, the lean scale-up, it really emphasizes building entire businesses, not just products. And that's a crucial distinction.
So that's where the concept of contextuality comes in, right?
Yes.
It's not enough for a product to be, desirable, feasible, viable, all those good things.
Right, it needs to fit.
It's got to fit within the existing company's context, like that electric scooter company we were talking about earlier. They've got to figure out how to sell those things alongside their, what was it again? Gas-guzzling SUVs.
Exactly. And contextuality, that's just one part of what the framework calls its scale formula for
Okay.
success.
Oh, okay, scale. I like where this is going. Tell me more. It sounds like an equation I can get behind.
Think of it this way: success equals contextuality, multiplied by assumptions, multiplied by launch, and finally multiplied by expansion. You need all four of these things working together.
Oh, so it's a multiplicative effect.
Exactly. You could have perfect contextuality, right? Your product fits perfectly within your existing company. But if your assumptions about the market are off, if you're way off base there, you're still in trouble.
So I can't just invent a self-folding laundry basket, assume everyone needs it, and expect to be rolling in cash.
Probably not, no.
Darn. But I see what you're saying. It's about being strategic, realistic, not just chasing the next shiny object.
Exactly. And to be clear, the framework recognizes that even with meticulous planning, there are external factors that can throw you off course.
Oh, sure, a global pandemic, a sudden economic downturn.
A competitor beats you to market, anything. It's about minimizing risk, not pretending we can eliminate it entirely.
Right. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into this idea of building businesses, not products. What does that actually look like in practice, and how is it different from that move fast and break things mentality we often associate with startups?
Well, think about it this way. Customers aren't lining up to buy products.
Oh, they want results.
They want solutions to their problems.
Solutions, not products.
Right. A product-focused approach might be, we're going to spend all our time perfecting this gadget, this widget. But if it doesn't solve a real problem for a specific customer,
it's going to end up at the bottom of a drawer.
Exactly. A business-focused approach, on the other hand, that starts by, okay, who is the customer? What are their needs? And how can we build a product and a business model around that?
And when you say business model, we're talking about
everything. The marketing, the sales, the distribution, the customer service, the whole package.
It's not just about building a better mousetrap. It's about building a better mousetrap business.
Well, yeah, you're getting it.
So it's less, if you build it, they will come, and more like, let's figure out what they actually need, mm-hmm. build a business around that, and then scale it strategically.
You got it.
Yeah.
And the Lean Scale-Up, this framework we're talking about, it provides that structure and the guidance to actually do that, especially within a larger company, you know,
yeah,
with all the complexities.
Right, because you've got all those existing systems and processes and...
Exactly. And that's where those leadership and people/culture elements become absolutely critical. It's not enough for senior managers to just give a thumbs up and say, yeah, innovation's good, go for it.
Right. They can't just sit back and wait for the magic to happen.
Exactly. They need to be actively championing these new ventures.
It's like they need to be the venture's immune system fighting off anything that might threaten its growth. So how does the Lean Scale-Up address this leadership challenge? Like, how do you actually get senior managers to demonstrate that kind of commitment?
So there's a key module in the framework that's really interesting. It's called Senior Manager's Skin in the Game.
Okay, love the name.
Right. It really gets at this idea that leadership buy-in can't just be a pep talk. It has to be demonstrated through actions.
So what does that look like in practice?
Well, it means allocating resources to the new venture, even when those resources might feel really precious or like they could be better spent elsewhere.
So no more pilfering the new venture's budget to spruce up the executive lounge.
Exactly. But it's also about actively protecting the new venture from, you know, unnecessary bureaucracy or those naysayers who might try to undermine it.
Right, because those corporate antibodies can be sneaky.
They can. It's about creating a safe space for the new venture to grow and experiment.
And are there other ways beyond budget that senior managers can show they're serious?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A big one is about fostering what the framework calls a one-company mindset.
Okay, so break that down for me. What does that actually mean?
It means breaking down those silos between the now and the new.
We're all in this together kind of thing.
Exactly. Encouraging collaboration, knowledge sharing. It's not us versus them. It's we're all on the same team here.
Which is interesting because the framework also talks about the importance of establishing startup-like autonomy for these new ventures, right? So how do you balance that need for autonomy with this idea of a one-company mindset? Like, how do you prevent the new venture from becoming a rogue agent within the larger company?
Yeah, it's definitely a delicate balance. On the one hand, you want to empower the new venture to move quickly, to experiment, to make decisions without being bogged down by layers of bureaucracy.
Right, give them some breathing room.
Exactly. But at the same time, you need to make sure that they're not operating in a vacuum, completely detached from the company's values and overall strategic goals.
So it's about setting clear boundaries and expectations, right? Defining what autonomy actually means within this context.
Exactly. And that's where having the right people in place becomes so crucial. And not just within the new venture itself, but also in those key roles within the existing company that will be interacting with the venture.
So it's about finding people who can bridge that gap.
Exactly. People who understand both worlds, who can speak both languages.
And who are comfortable with a little bit of, what did you call it earlier, ambiguity?
Exactly. People who are adaptable, who are excited by the challenge of building something new, because it's not always going to be easy.
It sounds like this whole corporate innovation thing, it's not just about having a great idea. It's about creating a system and a culture that allows those ideas to flourish.
You're absolutely right. It's about creating fertile ground for innovation. And the Lean Scale-Up framework, it's a blueprint for doing just that.
Yeah.
It's not a magic bullet, of course, but it's a powerful tool for any company that's serious about driving innovation and growth.
And you mentioned earlier that this framework isn't just theoretical. This was actually developed with input from leading companies. Do you have any real-world examples of how companies have put this into practice, maybe even some success stories?
Absolutely. One really interesting example is BP.
BP, the oil and gas company.
The one and only. You might think of them as this, you know, very traditional oil and gas company, but they've been making some really significant moves to transition into a broader energy company.
Interesting. So are they embracing electric vehicles or solar power or?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. You're investing in renewable energy, electric vehicle, charging, even convenience retail. And they've actually embraced the lean scale-up framework to help them do it.
So how does a company like BP even begin to apply these principles?
Well, they've actually created something they call a scaling up factory.
A scaling up factory. Sounds very appropriate given our conversation.
Right. Officially, it's called Beyond Launchpad. But I love the idea of a scaling up factory. And it's essentially this internal hub dedicated to helping them launch and scale new ventures.
That's amazing. And have they seen any real results with this approach?
They have. They've been able to successfully launch ventures in all those areas we talked about, renewables, EV charging.
Yeah.
And they attribute a lot of their success to this really structured, disciplined approach to innovation that the Lean Scale-Up framework provides.
That's fantastic. It really shows that even companies in these traditional industries can adapt and innovate if they're willing to embrace the right mindset and the right tools. Do you have any other examples up your sleeve, or are you saving those for a future deep dive?
I've got another one that's a personal favorite, and it really gets at the heart of that one company mindset we were talking about earlier.
Okay, hit me with it.
Remember Fujifilm?
Fujifilm, sure. My childhood photo albums are full of their film canisters, although something tells me that's not their core business these days.
You're telling me. When digital photography took over, Fujifilm was facing a real existential crisis.
Right, because who needs film when you've got a camera on your phone?
Exactly. But here's the thing. Instead of going the way of the Godo, they made this really bold decision to leverage their existing expertise in things like chemicals and materials to diversify into totally new areas.
So they didn't just try to make a better film canister. They thought bigger.
Way bigger. And it all started with a shift in mindset.
So what was the key to their success? Because it sounds like they did manage to reinvent themselves.
They did. Their CEO at the time, Shigetaka Komori, he played a really crucial role in this. He understood that for Fujifilm to survive, they needed to break down those internal barriers and foster that one company mindset we were talking about.
So instead of seeing the new stuff as a threat, they saw it as an opportunity to evolve.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about protecting the old. It was about leveraging the knowledge and skills of the people who were already there.
Because those people had years of experience working with chemicals, with manufacturing.
Exactly. And that expertise turned out to be incredibly valuable as they moved into these new areas.
So what kind of new businesses did they actually create? Did they end up making digital cameras?
They did some of that, but they went way beyond that. They got into things like cosmetics, pharmaceuticals, even high-tech materials for LCD displays.
Wow. From film to face cream, that's quite a pivot.
Right. It just shows you the power of this kind of thinking.
That's incredible. It really is a testament to what's possible when you have the right leadership, the willingness to adapt, and that commitment to a one-company mindset.
Absolutely. And those are just two examples. Companies across industries, healthcare, finance, technology, they're all using the Lean Scale-Up framework to figure out this whole corporate innovation thing.
It's inspiring to see that it's not just scrappy little startups that can disrupt industries.
Right. Established companies, they have a role to play too. And frameworks like the one we're talking about, they give them a fighting chance.
A roadmap for innovation.
Exactly.
We've covered so much ground today, from those unique challenges of corporate innovation to the core principles of this Lean Scale-Up framework, those inspiring success stories. But before we wrap things up, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier. Those four stages of pre-scaling discovery, business foundation, business strategy, and business design. Can you walk us through why having clearly defined deliverables for each of those stages is so important? Why is that so crucial?
Because it's not enough to just have a vague sense of, okay, we're making progress, things are moving along.
So we're talking about concrete milestones, not just vibes.
Exactly. You need to be able to track progress in a tangible way. And that's why the Lean Scale-Up framework, it emphasizes this data-driven progress monitoring throughout the entire pre-scaling process.
Right.
Each stage has these clearly defined deliverables, and there's a scorecard system to track how well you're hitting them.
Okay, so it's not just, yeah, we're feeling good about this, we're going to go for it.
No, it's not based on gut feeling or intuition.
So no more relying on vague updates about how things are moving along. We need specifics.
Exactly. This data-driven approach, it has a couple of really important benefits.
Okay, lay it on me. What are the upsides?
Well, first, it creates transparency and accountability. Everyone's on the same page.
So the venture team, senior leadership, everyone knows what the goals are.
They can see how the venture is progressing against those milestones, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that eliminates any kind of, oh, I thought we were further along than that. No surprises.
Right. Everyone knows exactly where things stand. And the second benefit, and this is huge, is that it allows for early course correction.
Okay, I like the sound of that, because sometimes you get so married to an idea that you don't want to admit it's not working.
Exactly. And that can be really dangerous. But with this data-driven approach, if the venture's consistently falling short of its targets well, that's a clear signal that something needs to change.
It's like having data to back up your gut feeling.
Right, and that allows for much more informed decision-making. Maybe you need to pivot the business model, adjust the product roadmap, or even, and this is always tough, but maybe you need to pull the plug before you sink too many resources into something that's just not going to work.
So it's about being brave enough to walk away if the data is telling you it's not going to fly.
It's about being smart. It's about being strategic. And ultimately, it's about maximizing your chances of success.
Because as we've been saying all along, corporate innovation, it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. But when it works, when you get it right.
It can be incredibly rewarding,
yeah,
both for the company and for the individuals involved.
Absolutely. And I think the Lean Scale-Up framework, it provides a really practical roadmap for navigating those choppy waters of corporate innovation.
It's about finding that sweet spot, right? Between the agility of a startup and the discipline of a larger company.
Bridging that gap between the now and the new.
Exactly. It's about creating an environment where innovation can thrive, but within a framework that maximizes your chances of success.
I love it. This has been such an insightful conversation, really eye-opening. We've gone from feeling like corporate innovation is about as likely as, well, remember that penguin analogy, to realizing that there are actual systems and strategies that can make it not just possible, but maybe even, dare I say, predictable.
Predictable is a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we can get better at it.
Absolutely. It's about shifting the mindset. It's not about luck. It's about creating the conditions for success.
And that's what the Lean Scale-Up framework is all about, creating those conditions.
Well said. It's been a pleasure diving deep into all of this with you today.
Likewise. This has been fun.
For everyone listening out there, keep those innovative ideas coming. And remember, corporate innovation isn't just about having a great idea. It's about building a system that allows those ideas to flourish. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep innovating.